You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to inexplicably, we're already at hour number two. That blows me away. Every once in a while, the show is like, oh, what time is it yet? But other times I find myself, the show flies by, and this is one of them. Hey, listen, we're about to welcome somebody on who's a friend of the show, and I count him as a friend of mine. Former State Representative Paul DeMarco. He represented the Alabama's 46th district, hails from down in the Birmingham area, but he served in the House of Representatives for a number of years. He's been very politically active for quite a while here in Alabama. He's also an attorney practicing in the Birmingham area, and he's always got his finger on the pulse of stuff that's happening. And there's several things we've talked about a little bit here on the show that I want to get his perspective on. So let me just stop talking and welcome him on. Paul DeMarco, how are you doing, man?
Great, Phil. Hope you and your listeners are well on this Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, brother, we are. Thank you so much for making time for us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with y'all. Lots going on.
There's a lot going on. In fact, what's funny is you and I were texting last night. I said, hey, a couple of topics, and you came back with like five more topics. And I was like, we might need a full hour for all that. hey, let me get your perspective. I mean, you live in the Birmingham area. You've served in the Birmingham area. Birmingham Southern. So Birmingham Southern is claiming, yep, we're not going to be here at the end of the semester if the court does not force young Boozer, our state treasurer, to give them $30 million. First of all, what's your perspective on, is this going to be the economic impact they claim it will be if they lose?
Well, I mean, clearly it will be for, in that part of town particularly. I mean, it's kind of an island right there. Look, this is exhibit A of what poor leadership can do. And you had, can we agree, your listeners agree, when you look at colleges and universities around the country, we've got all kinds of problems. I mean, the political cesspools that some of them have come.
Yeah.
But then you also have the poor leadership, which led to what happened at Birmingham Southern. Because if you look not too far away, about 15 minutes away at Samford, they're doing gangbusters. And they've got all kinds of, they've had good leadership, that they've been good financial stewards of their money. And it's a shame that Birmingham Southern, because you have good people that work there, you've got, I'm sure you do, you know, alumnus, great folks, some great students. My son played their soccer camp. I mean, that's what's a shame, because of poor fiscal responsibility of some leadership and some folks not watching the mind in the store, this school could close.
Yeah.
That's the shame is, and that's why people need to be minding the store, and that didn't happen here. And so it could close, and it'll be a shame for those people that lose their job if it does, and those students who were planning on graduating there, and they're going to have to transfer and go elsewhere.
Well, you and I are both attorneys, and you and I are both former state legislators, and I look at this situation that we're in right now, and it's a novel thing. I mean, I don't think young Boozer, our current state treasurer, ever ran for office with the intent of being a loan underwriter, that he never intended to be a loan originator. But here he is, the legislature, they couldn't say no, so they had to do something apparently, and they decided their best way to do it was to give him the discretion to approve or disapprove loans for distressed educational entities. Well, they claimed distress, and he said no. So right now, they're embroiled in court, and I know that apparently tomorrow's a hearing, and Attorney General Steve Marshall said he's filing a motion to dismiss. Give me your legal perspectives on it.
Well, let's go back to your lawmaking days, Phil, and your listeners. I mean, the most important word, I think the judge has already talked about it, is may and shall.
Yep, absolutely.
And look, there is no question in my mind, and probably you spent a number of years in Montgomery, their intent was to help Birmingham Southern. And the fact that you were able to get so many folks with the consensus to pass that legislation, however, they put that safety valve in, and this was probably some compromise language to get people to get on with the bill, because at the time I think there was a lot of folks saying, well, we're not going to go help every time a college needs help, a private school needs help, even though you and I both know the state of Alabama has given money to private schools. You and I both know that.
Oh, yeah.
We can
go
through that long list. So
there
is precedent for the state helping private colleges in the past, but let's put that aside. They choose to use the word may, not shall. They also chose not to put this money in a line item in the education budget, which has been done in the past with private colleges and schools in the past, even that were not even, you know, colleges. So there's precedent. But that's how the legislature chose to do this to get it through. So there's no question that Senator Wagner and Senator Smitherman and other members of the Jefferson County delegation, others said, hey, we want to bail out Birmingham Southern because of bad financial decisions. However, the treasurer's got it. He says, well, you're telling me I have got the discretion to do it because you put may. And so by telling me to use the word may, I'm choosing not to do it. Now, then the next question is why? And I'm not sure if he's given an exact reason other than he doesn't think that it's a good use, that he'll never get the assets back. I know there's a bank that has assets, and that bank shouldn't be forced or required to give up their collateral. I mean, they're a private business. They shouldn't be set it aside. That bank has a fiduciary duty to its shareholders and owners. So I think that's the situation. The only thing I can say is, you know, does the legislature come back and change the legislation when they go back in session in February? It's not like there's going to be a special session that's going to happen in the next 30 or 60 days.
No,
they'll go
not.
Back until February.
And I'll be honest with you, if they come back in and tweak this to make it a shall, I would hope that young Boozer would lay out the whole application that was provided to him that caused him to deny it in the first place and say, well, then you guys are making a really bad decision because, they didn't qualify for the loan. I mean, I'm sure that he thought that there was not the ability for them to actually manage the debt service on it.
Look, I'm conflicted because I want to see Birmingham Southern survive, but you know what? As much bad decisions get made in Montgomery about fiscal responsibility, we can look at how many million dollars here, or $1 billion on a road in West Alabama, and $1 billion on this prison here. How much was going to be spent on ABC, and was it $100 million on a new facility?
Ugh,
we can talk about all the. We can go on and on and on. I'm not going to criticize if we actually have somebody trying to use good fiscal responsibility. You're not going to hear me criticize them because I'm very critical of all the poor fiscal decisions being made in Montgomery, and there's a lot of them being made in Montgomery right now. You and I could spend 3 hours talking about them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to. I do wish they could figure out a way. And if the university today, they've got to go back to the alumnus and say, hey, look, y'all got to figure out a way. If y'all want your alma mater to survive, we need y'all to come to the table and help make up for this. If they've gotten it they're only down to $30 million, and I say only $30 million, because didn't they need, at one point, we need like $400 million?
Oh, it was something ridiculous. They were asking for, I want to say, $45 million just in bailout money at one point, even including Jefferson County and City of Birmingham they wanted money from. But, you know, you make a great point. Hard for us to ever criticize the idea of fiscal accountability, especially when the title of the person who's being accountable is treasurer. I mean, that's the kind of person you want to see being accountable, right?
Look, didn't we criticize the treasurer's office a number of years ago? I think you and I were both there when we had the whole PAC situation.
Oh, yeah. Lord, what a mess that was. And I think that
what
was actually our former treasurer was actually Kay Ivey at the time. Okay. Listen, you brought up something else just a moment ago. You happened to mention it. So I have an article in my hands that I'm doing a whole section. I call this whole section we're in right now home fries. We're cooking up a batch of home fries here around the state. This story came off of WHNT Channel 19, but it's been all over the place. Governor Ivey went ahead and signed a $75 million contract for that West Alabama Corridor project. So this is a big deal. No federal matching funds. We're committing to a billion-dollar project across the western side of the state. And some say it's needed for economic development, and some say, you know what, that's not the priority. We got about 2 minutes for the break. You want to give me your thoughts on that?
Well, here's my concern is, you know, now if you use all the money for that, we talked about infrastructure. Didn't we talk about bridges that were falling apart?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about The school buses are on this. So, I mean, if you use this $1 billion and if you go ahead and promise or use as a promise for bonds, all this gas money in the future, how are you going to pay for everything else if one road is taking $1 billion?
Yep.
I mean, why isn't that question being asked? How are you going to spend it on every other road in the other 60, let's say, four counties, if this is going to be through three or four counties? What about the other 62 counties if this $1 billion is going to be used for four county worth of roads?
Well, it's a great place for Pete Buttigieg to show up with some money for racist roads that we keep hearing about. I look at this and think, I get it on the one hand, because part of my district was very rural, and I still to this day am looking at an incomplete section of Highway 411, which would be the only time that Cherokee County could have ever said in its existence that it had four-lane access to an interstate if they'll just finish it. And we've got a bridge over the Coosa River that's never been done, that funnels people down from a community called Southside into Gadsden and Rainbow City. It's amazing the infrastructure out there that is needed, but we're going to put $1 billion into this one?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's opposed to four. I mean, I go down there for work all the time, but it's the amount of money being spent without spreading it around. And if you're going to, again, go and say the rest of this gas tax money for the next number of years is set aside for this, how do you fund everything else?
Yeah.
It's not the idea of the road.
Yep.
It's putting us out that money. That's the problem.
That I agree. It's there's no federal match. It's just literally going to drain the coffers on one road, and the rest of the counties are looking at it going, why not us?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, Paul, can you hang on? I want to get your comments on the Southern Poverty Law Center testifying against the United States in Geneva, Switzerland, of all places.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, stand by, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We were taking a break right now with a discussion we're having with former State Representative Paul DeMarco, cooking up a batch of home fries, stuff happening right here in your backyard. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. By the way, Chef Ben from Aniana, and Chef Ben is a true chef. I've eaten his food. Wow. Anyway, Chef Ben from Aniana says, a home fry is still a tater, no matter how you slice it up. Hit me up some home fry sound effects. There you go. We're cooking up some home fries with our buddy, former state representative Paul DeMarco. Hey, Paul, let me ask you this. The Southern Poverty Law Center, that bastion of truth and conservatism that houses itself down there in Montgomery, they just apparently traveled to Geneva, Switzerland to testify before the United Nations Human Rights Committee against the United States, claiming that we are basically not safeguarding human rights. Give me your unvarnished thoughts.
I mean, in their backyard where they have, you know, murders left and right. I mean, this group is just unbelievable. I mean, if you remember, weren't they the ones that came up with the let's attack Catholics? And where are they right now with the whole Hamas and what's going on with Israel? I mean, I hope it's just amazing. They are in Alabama, this group.
Yeah.
What we in Alabama, you know, about our religious faith and our family. And it's just like, for them, it's like the state they use to raise money off of, because they're constantly attacking the values that we in Alabama hold so dear when it comes to our faith and family, live our life. But they don't like it. They just use it to raise money off of.
Yeah. How many times has the state of Alabama, the legislature, done something of a conservative nature only to have the SPLC join in the lawsuit against it and then try to win money off of it? In fact, I'm hearing that the SPLC has so much money in offshore accounts that it would make your head swim if you could see their accounting.
Yeah, again, you could use example after example of what this group does, but for them to go and testify against our great country and what it stands for is just very typical of this group. It's very typical of what they stand for and how what they think candidly of the some of their neighbors. That's the way I look at it. This is what they go around and talk bad about their neighbors. That's what the way I look at them.
Yeah, they do, and they claim to be all about designating hate groups, and yet the Family Resource Council, the Moms for Liberty, you mentioned the Catholic situation. That they literally wind up branding people as hate groups. But what boggles my mind, though, is somehow or another they've been given some level of bona fides with people like the FBI. And the FBI uses their hate group list as part of the tracking for who they need to investigate for, the Biden push for domestic terrorists and extremists. It boggles the mind.
Would it be fair to call them, if they indeed did provide information against Catholics, that they themselves are the ones who are the bigots?
One would think. and I look at it and think, if you also want to go to Geneva, Switzerland to testify against your own country, the country that gives you the right to have freedom of speech and a freedom of expression and the freedom of assembly that you so value, apparently, then I tell you what, go live somewhere else. That's the way I see it. We say that it's like, okay, not everyone's going to move. They may say they want to make change from within. Okay. But what they're really doing though, is to me, they're fomenting discord at every turn.
Yeah. At the expense of what they say, we all want to live together in peace. And instead it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. So, and like you said, through the years, they have raised millions and millions of dollars, at the expense again of attacking, some of these values that we, faith and family and conservative values in our state. They want to say, that's racial this and racial that and bigotry that, when again, they need to look in the mirror.
Well, Paul DeMarco, former state representative here, attorney in the Birmingham area, always got his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the state. I appreciate your time and commentary, man.
Hope you and your listeners have a great Tuesday afternoon, great rest of the week.
You too, Paul. See you, buddy. All right. Well, listen, there you go. In fact, I don't know that I got to all my home fries. I'll scan my stack and see if I need to keep on with a little bit more, but we are going to move on in the show, and I appreciate Paul DeMarco making some time for us. Got several text messages that have already flooded in. Michelle from Huntsville said, isn't Birmingham Southern also one of the universities that tried to skirt the law and impose a vax mandate on students? Yes, they did. We broke that story right here on this show. They charged a $500 fee to unvaxxed students and required special testing. Well, you reap what you sow. No bailout, says Michelle. I concur. Badger from Athens says this is a good place for the word of the day, and he sent me a catawample. A catawample is a word I've never heard before. It means to travel purposely toward an as-yet unknown destination. I guess that's where Birmingham Southern is going right now. All right, listen, more of that. And I got more dippers we haven't even touched. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.